I'd like to start today with a reading from Luke chapter 15, verses 11. So if you all want to pick up a Bible and look at it. So if you all don't know this, this is the parable of the lost son. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened cow calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, come home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because the brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" Right. So, I was kind of inspired to read this after camp. And what I've learned is, like, this parable is the center of what I will be speaking about today, which is about forgiveness, but focusing on the youth today forgiving themselves. And this is because at camp, I noticed a lot of the younger generation found it difficult to go to their sessions. And that's because they felt like, oh, because I haven't gone to church for a whole year, why am I worthy to sit in a session and hear about God? And that really did break my heart. Like, it baffled me that young Christians that have been going to Revive longer than I've been going, and they just forgot or just didn't know that God loves them. And it's sad. Like, I just wanted to show that God still loves each and every one of you, even if you stray and go to a different country and mess around. And I just want to say, like, I know it's important that we preach the gospel to everyone who doesn't know the gospel, but does your fellow neighbour near you know the gospel itself? Do they know that God loves them? Like, we don't know what we're going through each and every day. We don't know everyone's struggles. We don't see every second of their day, but do they know God loves them? Like, do you know the person sitting next to you, what they're going through? Do you know that God loves them? Do you know that God loves you? And I just wanted to make sure that everyone goes out today knowing that it's good to preach to people who don't know about God, but it's also good to know that this, your sister, your brother near you knows that God loves them. Amen. And I'd like to end on making sure we need to learn to also forgive ourselves by presenting ourselves to God. Because in order to move and grow, we need to be able to repent and learn that, oh, I've wronged, and I bring it before your father, because you're not going to move on until you and your father feel like, yes, I'm ready to learn from my mistakes and move on. Thank you for listening.
For those of you who don't know me, I work on a vineyard, so that's what my talk today is going to be on. So there's an example of a vine. I'm going to start with, I'm going to go through some of the main points you do, main working things you do in the vineyard, which is pruning and the harvest, and I'm going to explain grafting. I'm going to start with, I'll go in order from like sort of what you do, so I'll start with grafting. So with grafting, where's the sellotape?
It should have been, found it.
So in the Bible there has a lot of relevance to the vineyard. And I'll explain as I go along. I'll explain what that specific thing has to do with the Bible. So, with grafting, basically, you have a rootstock, which is the root that goes under the ground, and then you have the vine. So this bit here, you can see that this is the rootstock, and here's where it's been grafted, and here's the vine. Upside down, it's heavier that way.
Go on then. That's how it would be in the ground.
That's how it would be. Roots go in here, here's the grafting part, and here's the vine. And
that bit's under the ground there.
Yeah, so here would be where it comes out of the ground. Right, let me put it down. Maybe before this. So with grafting, you'd have two puzzle pieces. You'd have sort of two puzzle pieces, which would be here. So go together literally like that. And after you've grafted it together, you would just tape it. Or well, the actual way you do it is use wax to seal it properly and stop any infection in the vine.
You can't just say you cut them at an angle so that they meet. The growing parts are all connected, so that they're connected up.
So the relevance of this to the Bible, you can go sit down. The relevance of this to the Bible. Thank you, Joseph.
That's the graph.
This is it when it's a baby. So this is when the vine is a baby. It's like this. And you put this bit, so this is where it goes on the ground, there's a rootstock, and here's the vine.
That's that bit there.
Let me explain. So the relevance of this to the Bible is, so in the actual Bible it says that this, the rootstock is Israel, and yeah, I know. And this part, and this part is the church, and they get grafted in together. But so that's how I see it as the Old Testament. But when Jesus came, Jesus became the new rootstock, and we are the vine. Because without a rootstock, the vine will die, because the disease in the ground will just kill it, and it won't produce as much fruit. It's basically useless. So without Jesus, we are useless. So we need Jesus in our lives to become fruit bearers and to live forever. Then there's pruning. Okay. With pruning, so all of this would actually have lots of branches sticking out all over the place, like five on each side. And what you'd do is you'd come through your scepters, cut them, and you leave two at the right length that you want to grow to produce as much fruit as possible. You want it, that's the point in this, is to get as much fruit as you can. And I think there's a Bible verse. I'll read from the start. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful.
You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. That's quite important. Remember that no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I think that's basically all there is to it. So Jesus is the vine. He's the whole vine, and we are the cane, the branch that he wants to make that bears fruit. So he's going to cut off all the rest, and he's going to cut us to the right size so that we can be the most fruitful that we can to him in Jesus. So that's all the relevance. Because the rest of it that you cut off is not useful at all. That won't produce any fruit. It's useless. And then harvest. Now I need Galatians. Verse 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against things such things, there is no law. Those who belong in Christ have crucified the sinful nature of its passions and desires. Since we live in the Spirit, let us keep in the step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. The fruit of So the aim is the fruit of the Spirit. That's what we want to be, the fruit of the Spirit. And we don't want to be the sort of sour grapes. that's all I was going to do. But one last thing I wanted to say was, basically, I wasn't too sure why I went into vineyard work. At the time I thought of it as sort of dumb luck. I had no reason for it. I don't even like wine now, but I went into vineyard work, worked there for 2 years, and now I'm working in France with a Christian family. So when I think about it, at the beginning I just thought, oh, it's working quite well. And then you realise, when you look at it, that actually God has looked after me quite well. He's got things for me to do in this world, and hopefully I'll carry on with that. That's all I want to say.
Amen. Okay, so yes, you all know our leadership today is about growth, as you can see there. So that's a tree growing, basically, just for those visual folks. I want, every time I say the word grow, everyone shout amen. Yeah? Amen. Alright, so grow.
Amen.
Alright, thank you. So it's good work. Alright, so what's this? A present. It's a gift. So we all like gifts, yeah? We like getting gifts. We like giving gifts. No matter the price. So it depends on the price, but we all like getting and giving gifts. We give gifts in different occasions. So we give gifts in birthdays, gifts at Christmas, gifts at weddings, basically whenever we have the opportunity to give a gift. So God, he likes giving gifts as well. So he gave each and every one of us a gift. Some of us know our gifts, some of us don't even know our gifts yet. But we can all grow and find our gifts together. So here is Romans 12:16-8. It tells us a bit about the gifts. So it goes, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophecy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it is encouraged, then give encouragement. If it is given, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. So what does this tell us? So it says we all have different gifts that are given to us by God. For example, some of us here are leaders. For example, leaders in worship like Kevin. Some of us are teachers. Some are musical, like play keyboard, do all the tech stuff. Some of us like to play sports, like running. But yeah, we all have different gifts. We just need to find our gifts. Yeah, so we need to find our gifts to grow closer with God. Amen. So God can help us find our gifts, help us grow our faith, and which will help us delve deeper into knowing Him more. Some of us sometimes feel downhearted when we see other Christians doing work like missionary work. For example, people going to terrifying places and spreading the love of God, like China, for example. But instead, we should feel encouraged because it shows that they have found their gift and are using it to do the will of God. We should feel encouraged and grow our faith more so that we can find our own gifts and use it as they're using their gifts. Am I right? Thank you. All right. Who can guess what this next picture is about? It's a path. So what should we do? We need to grow and develop our faith. See, now you're remembering to say amen every time. That's good. If it was me, I'd have forgotten time ago. So yeah, that's good. So we need to grow and develop our faith and become closer to God so that He can guide us in the correct path, which will lead us into discovering our own gifts. There are many paths that all lead to the same place. So don't feel discouraged if you see the path, but don't choose to follow it. Because you should believe that God in a later time in your life will bring the path again. And then maybe you can choose that path. For example, when you're driving the motorway and then you drive past your exit, you always know that you can go to the next exit, come back, and then go to the correct one again, yeah? Yeah. So this shows that we're all different. No one here looks the same, sounds the same, same height. We're all different. This shows us that we do things differently. For example, we act differently, we talk differently, we like different things. For example, in the picture here, there's a lot of people in that picture, but there's no one that looks the same. We all have different names, for example. There's a bit of spinning. Yeah, I think I was playing a bit when I was making this. There are also different ways of worshipping. There's praising and thanksgiving. There's using songs. There's dancing. There's helping others. And also being a living sacrifice. So first of all, praise and thanksgiving. It can be done anywhere. It can be done at work, at home, in the shower, on the street, anywhere basically. Ephesians 5:19-20 goes, sing and make music from your hearts to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This means that we should be thanking God for all that he has done for us at every time. So we should be praising, even if we're ill, praising God that we're not seriously ill. Even if we lose a bit of money, praising God that we can still afford food and buy new things. So that's praising. It's a way of worshipping. And then next, it's songs. So you can worship through songs. For example, at church, we sing a lot of different songs. We sing some songs are hymns and some are not hymns. We can even sing songs when watching movies. Like, some movies have quite good songs. There are songs on the radio, for example, that we may enjoy. But even that is worshipping. If you listen to the lyrics sometimes in music, you can see God in them. Even if the artist himself doesn't know that, you can still see it. Or even when you're just sitting somewhere and you're just tapping on a table, making your own music, that is still praising God. So songs, they help communities grow together. I cut you out, you didn't say amen. So yeah, they help communities grow together. There we go, thank you. Example, the native Indians used to sing songs together around campfires so that they become closer to one another and share a relationship together. So for example, songs help us share a relationship with God. For example, King David used to sing a lot of songs. He could play the guitar and then sing. He made a lot of hymns as well that we sing today. Colossians 3:16 says, sing to God with gratitude in your heart. Gratitude means thankfully, showing appreciation for everything that he has done. So this is praise. Who can guess the next one? Yes, this is dancing. So I strictly come dancing. Some of you might watch it on the TV. I don't know which year the picture's from, by the way. So yeah, we like to dance a lot as people. We like to dance at weddings. Just pointing at Dave. We like to, at Michael's wedding, we all saw that. We like to dance at birthdays. Even if we can't dance, we still like to dance a bit. So King David also danced a lot. He danced when he was worshipping God. Exodus 15:20 goes, it talks about the Miriam women, or Miriam the prophet. So it goes, then Miriam the prophet, Aaron's sister, took a tambourine. But no, there was a spelling mistake there. Sorry about it. She took a tambourine in her hand, and all the women followed her with tambourines and dancing. This is because they are worshipping God for what he had done for them. So worshiping, who can guess this one is? Growth. Amen. So this will help us grow. By finding out how we each individually like to worship, we can grow closer to God and build a stronger relationship with him. So after all of this, in conclusion, I'd like to say we all have different gifts. So some gifts, who can like say a gift that we may have? Evangelizing. Hospitality. Visions, teaching, serving, tongues, See, we all have different gifts. There are many gifts. Also, we're all different. No one here is the same, physically, mentally, emotionally, or even by our relationship with God. We're not all on the same level. And there are also different ways of worshipping God. We just have to find the one that suits us so we can grow closer to God. Amen. Amen. So he can help us in our lives and help us move forward. Thank you.
Good morning, church. First of all, can I ask you guys, have you guys all still got your numbers, yeah? Yeah. The chairs are set up a little bit differently, as they are. The back two rows, number one. These back two rows, number two. These front two rows, number three. Those front two rows, number four. Can I please ask you all to move around and sit accordingly, please? One, back two. Those back two, two. These front two, three. They're four. Good. See, when I'm speaking, if God speaks to one of you, you want to say something, feel free to shout back. It's not me talking at you. I'd like it to be like a discussion, because we are church. We are all equal, right or wrong. Yeah. So if you have an opinion, say it. I'll try and answer it if I can, or somebody else can answer it. I'd like it to be like a big discussion, yeah? So the first one is like different types and variations of religions. Like, how many are there? Like, I'll start. Like, you've got Jews, you've got Muslims, and then how many different types of Christians? So you've got Catholics, any others? Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, Church of England, you've got Jehovah's, Presbyterians. You've got so many different types. So many, I don't even think we could count, different variations. But despite the differences in all of those, there are many differences, what are the two main similarities would people say? The ones that we just mentioned. God, as in like a greater being, one creator, not like lots of different gods. And also Jesus, yeah? Even the Muslims believe in Jesus, but it's just different variations of how high up you choose to put him, yeah? So we are here, as far as I'm concerned, like evangelical Christians, yeah? Evangelical, evangelist, evangelizing, which proclaim, so a bringer of good news. So evangelist, I had to actually look up the meaning. So I knew what it meant, but I wanted to get the actual correct meaning, and it's the one who tells the message of salvation in Christ and leads others to faith in him. Yeah? So we're evangelical Christians. Christian means followers of Jesus the Messiah. So we are, as evangelical Christians, the ones who tell the message of salvation in Christ and lead others to faith in him, following Jesus the Messiah. Yeah? So that is our job, yeah? We are doing good, because more and more people every day are coming to church, yeah? But I feel we can do better, yeah? Always strive to achieve more, achieve better, yeah? Right or wrong, would you say? Yeah? Share the love of God, bring more people to him, so we have more people to share heaven with, share that better place. But I'm wondering, like, why aren't we doing more? Could we do more? Have we given up, lost faith, forgot the end goal? Because we are closest to judgment we have ever been. Now, because judgment is coming. It's been written. It's closer, yeah. It's closer than ever, and we're only getting closer to it. And we don't know when judgment will come. All we know is it's going to come like a thief in the night. Thessalonians 5:2. Let me find this. So Thessalonians 5:2. Now, brothers and sisters, it's about time and dates. We do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come to them suddenly, as labour pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. So we don't know when this time's going to come. So we should be trying to bring as many people to Christ, let them know the love of Christ as soon as possible, before it is too late, before we're like, wish I did it sooner. Do you know what I mean? You know when you've got those like, oh, I wish I'd done that, or I should have done that differently, or maybe I should have mentioned it to him. If you have that feeling, you have that urge, just say something. Do you know what I mean? These little things. So we don't know until it is too late, yeah? So Thessalonians, again, 5:6. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep. Let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. And those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together in him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up each other, just as in fact as you are doing, as we are doing. But I feel, because we're closer to the judgment, we need to do that more. We need to bring more people to God, show more people the love that he has for them, instead of, because we are the light in this dark world, yeah? We are the light. Naturally, I've written further on, so I might repeat myself, but we are the light in this dark world, and people, you naturally get drawn to the light. And even just us, by being good Christians, good humans, yeah? People will naturally be drawn to us, and they'll be intrigued. Like, people have seen the change in me, and they're coming up, and they're asking more questions, and it's just the natural inquisitive side in them coming. And then I it's not me forcing myself, and you can't force anybody to do anything these days. I can't. So, but it's their natural inquisitiveness that comes and asks, and then I answer questions. So that's the Lord shining out through me, and people seeing that. They're not seeing it. They're not seeing me. They're seeing the Lord within me. Yeah. So we. I think we all should, because no one's perfect, Jesus was perfect, isn't it? But I think we all should strive to be better, yeah? Good Christians, yeah? Not good, great Christians. But I looked in the thesaurus as well, yeah? Good, so many different things, and I think these ones mean a lot, and I think this is what we should be as good Christians. We should be friendly, we should be righteous, we should be gracious, we should be virtuous, helpful, honest, unselfish, dependable, marvellous, cheerful and considerate. Anybody would like to add anything to those ones? A good Christian? Graceful. Any others? Honest. Forgiving. Loving. All of these. This is what I think we should be as good Christians. Yeah. Putting aside the evangelical side for the time being. Yeah. But we should all be good Christians. Be doing these things. And it's hard sometimes because other than when we're in here, we'll gather together. We're outside. We're by ourselves, maybe one or two, and we're surrounded by all of this darkness. The devil is down here, and we know that the Lord is up there waiting for us, but he's going to be down here soon, yeah, soon, closer than ever. He's coming back, yeah, and we know that because it's been written, yeah, so he's coming back. Amen, amen. Amen. But if we aren't these things, who would want to be a part of our family, yeah, and come home to Jesus? So if we aren't all of these things, we're not welcoming, we're not righteous, we're not gracious, we're not helpful, we're not honest, who would want to be a part of our family? Truthfully, like, no one really. And home should be somewhere you run to, not from. So you run to home, you don't run from home, yeah? So when you're worried or scared, you run home, yeah? When you're anxious, you run home. When you're excited, you run home. You don't run from home, you run to home. And we should make our faith home, yeah? Brothers and sisters, this is our family. Brothers and sisters here, we've got father up there. Do you know what I mean? But this is, and I know it's very basic, but treat others how we want to be treated, yeah? And it's very simple, but some of us don't do it. So, for example, if... I'm trying to come up with an example here. But treat others how we want to be treated. So, for example, if... It's hard asking for something because we've all got pride to a certain extent, yeah? But if you can see that someone is struggling, yeah? Maybe they're too proud to ask, or they might be too shy, or they might feel weak within themselves. If you can see it, yeah? Then why not at least help, or at least offer, yeah? Because it's down to them whether to say yes or no, but some people are too proud to ask. And me personally, if I saw someone, and knowing how I am, I'm too proud to ask. If I see someone struggling, I'll try and help them. If I can, I'll try, because... We're human. We have got that pride within us. So it's just little things like that make a big difference in someone's life. Like feeling the love of each other from God that he's given us, with the Holy Spirit inside us. But I'm not saying go without and give everything to everyone. Yeah, but I'm saying when you can help, help. Just give a little bit to someone here and there. It doesn't have to be money, it doesn't have to be this. It could be your time to someone. So when you want to spend time with someone that you don't know where they come from, someone stops the speech at the shops, instead of just, oh, I don't know this person, let me walk away from them. See it as an opportunity to speak to them. And because you might be the first person that you spoke to in a week. They might have no family. You have no idea. But God's put them in your path for a reason. So why not do some evangelizing, yeah? So, but in times of need, do it. Why not? We need to be good humans, good Christians. So in times of need, why shouldn't we do it? It should be, we should do it, we should do it, we should do it. Like try and come up with a reason, why shouldn't I? I don't know, because I should, yeah? That's the reason. But you know, all the different religions, yeah? Why do the minor differences seem major? So let me say, for example, yeah, you've got Islam, yeah, which is all in the news, it's negativity, like it's got all the bad press, yeah, and you've got Christianity, yeah. You can't be a Muslim if you don't believe in Jesus, yeah, because they believe in Jesus, but they just don't put him as high up as we do, yeah. So I can't grab you, any of you, take you to the mosque and force and put your head to the ground, but I can't do the same thing and take a Muslim from here and make them sing hymns and jump up and down and clap, yeah? They know that Jesus has been there, he is alive, they believe that he's a prophet, they don't believe that he's the son of God, yeah? But there's no point in us banging our heads against a brick wall and trying to force someone that is stuck in their way, sort of thing. So we should give our time elsewhere, because they still believe in Jesus, yeah? That's what we are to do. We're here to spread the love and spread the knowledge and spread everything to do with Jesus, yeah? So rather than argue about the little things, they know that Jesus, he did these amazing things, he was alive, rah, 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 but they believe that he's that. We believe that he's this. Leave them to it, yeah? Because you can't, trying to get blood out of a stone, yeah? Am I making sense here? Yeah, yeah? Making sense. Okay, okay, okay. Carry on, yeah? But that's different ways in worship. You can't force someone to do something else. People are stuck in their ways, yeah? So when you put in front of those people, you need to give your point, help if you can, but know when you're wasting your time, when you're wasting your breath, you know when you're banging your head up against the brick wall, yeah? And you're not getting through to anybody. Just that time you're spending with that person, you could spend with somebody else, someone that's never heard of Jesus, like has no idea where Christmas comes from, or the real meaning behind Easter, like it's chocolate eggs. No, it's not, mate. Like, but for example, Revelation 22, verse 11, yeah. So let the one who does wrong continue to do wrong. Let the vile person continue to be vile. Let the one who does right continue to do right, and let the holy person continue to be holy, yeah? So to me, what that's saying is not everybody can be helped. Hell is there for a reason. Some people are going to hell, yeah? But we need to save the ones that we can, and don't waste our time on the people that have no chance in saving. Like, help them by all means, yeah? Be good Christians. Don't just disregard them, yeah? But back to Ed's, like, vine thing, yeah? If they're no good, you chop them off. You don't waste your time and waste your energy with them. You just get rid of the other ones, yeah? So be polite, friendly, be good Christians, even though they do believe that our Saviour is just a prophet, the same as the other prophets, yeah? Just still be nice, kind, friendly, innit? And if they ask, then they'll see the light within us, and hopefully they'll eventually make up their own mind and change, rather than be told this and that. Am I making sense? Yeah? So, but some people are happy being vile, being evil, gossiping. Leave them to it, yeah? Just leave them, yeah? Daniel 12:10. Many will be purified, made spotless and refined, but the wicked will continue to be wicked. None of the wicked will understand, but those who are wise will understand, yeah? So we need to go out in this dark place and find these wise people, yeah? Try and find these wise people. Let the purify who we can purify, and let the wicked just leave them to do their thing. We don't want to be a part of that, yeah? Because we're going to strive to be good. No. Let me rephrase that. Great Christians, yeah? Great Christians. So, where am I? But so many people, since I've been on my path, people are looking, yeah? But they don't know where to look, or they're scared to get judged, yeah? Because they've heard this, they've heard that, yeah? So, but these are people that have lived let's say, a sinful life, yeah? Sinful in the eyes of God. So they could be gay, yeah? They could be Muslim. Their sexual orientation, their ethnicity, it could be... But they could be getting judged for some reason when they're condemning themselves, yeah? But they don't know where to look. But these are the people that we need to have open arms to and kind of... Yeah, so all these different people. So if these people were to come to church, if you're not a big fan of gays or not a big fan of Asians or whatever, try and keep your opinion to yourself, because we should still be loving. They're still God's creation. God created them that way, yeah? And they can come around in their own time. Maybe they can't change their skin colour. but maybe their sexual orientation, they can come around. But we need to at least give them the chance first. Do you know what I mean? Because we are all sinners in our own different ways. And all sin is the same. Yeah? All sin is the same. But it depends on how you see it. But if we treat everybody, no matter who they are, how they've been brought up, with welcome arms like you guys have welcomed me, yeah, then we will see this church filled. Yeah? We might even have to move church, move building. That's what I'd like. Amen? Yeah, yeah. Amen. Yes, yes. It's already bigger. God is preparing us because he knows we're going to be bringing in how many people. Yeah, but who are the future? The youth, yeah. All of us are, but the youth, the next generation, that is our future, yeah. So the next generation are the ones that need the Lord's guidance the most. They're the ones that have grown up in this sinful world. They haven't known any different apart from all of this sin that's around them. Yeah, they don't know any other sin. They are our future in the sinful world, yeah. But we need to stand up, yeah, and stand out in a good way, yeah. So in the sinful world, like, if you're sinning or you're doing the same as everybody else, you blend in. But if we're doing good, if we bend down, giving someone a chat, or like, we will stand out in that good way, and people notice that, and then people come towards us, people be drawn to us. And I was looking up the other day in the sky, yeah, and I saw the moon, big full moon, yeah, bright. And it looked like someone was just shining a torch, yeah? You know, just bright. Like, you could see the clouds, and the clouds were dark, yeah? And the clouds would be coming past. As the clouds are coming past, yeah? You could still see the bits of the moon, still see the bits. And then the moon was gone, and the sky was black. But I still knew that the moon was behind there, yeah? The moon was still shining light in there, even though it was surrounded by all of that darkness, yeah? The moon was still in there, yeah? Shining its light. And that's what we should be like in this dark, sinful world. We should still be shining the light that is inside us, and showing people around us. Because maybe I was that far away, I couldn't see it, but eventually the darkness would move and I could see the light again. Well, that's how we should be in this world here, yeah? So, standing up, standing out. I think we should do what he has taught us and what he is still teaching us, and let everybody out there see our light in this sinful world, the darkness. Let everybody out there kind of take what we've learned and put it into practice, yeah? But it is us, yeah, us versus them. Light versus darkness, yeah. God's army against the devil, the non-believers. That's the devil's main objective, is to try and take people away from God. Either make the non-believers keep on non-believing, or just worship something else or do something different, yeah. We're God's army. We need to do what we can, when we can, and we're in a war now, yeah? A spiritual one, yeah? We're in a war now. We need to prepare for the greater war that has been written and that is going to come. This war, it has been written, it's coming. So, kind of like the Olympics, yeah? You don't see them doing their 9-to-5 job, yeah? And just fall out of bed, jump on a plane to Rio, and run the 100 metres, yeah? You don't see that. Either they're 100% dedicated and they give 100% of their time to this, or if they're that motivated, they'll still do their job, and afterwards they'll be training, yeah? Putting what they've learned into practice, yeah? That's what I believe that we need to be doing. We need to be going out there, doing little things. So if you get a little nudge from God, yeah, I've had it a couple of times. Sometimes I've had a trip, yeah, where he's just sent me on my face. But you might get a little nudge from God, like, go on, just go over there, talk to that person, yeah? You're like, was that me? Was that God? Just go with it, yeah? And that's just a little step, yeah? So if you're building up your confidence slightly and God's speaking to you, he'll make that voice louder, yeah? He'll make that voice louder. And I believe that when you do little things, yeah, the confidence, the light grows inside you, so you get more confidence. So you trust that voice in your head, nah, it's not me, it's come from somewhere else, isn't it? Him, yeah? So this voice in your head, and that is our way of training. So then one day we could see something and God goes, go there. You've got the confidence, go, yes, yes I will, yeah? But if you take one thing from today, growth, yeah? We need to grow individually, we need to grow in numbers, yeah? Bring as many people to the Lord as we can, yeah? And obviously, yeah, you know this war, it's not going to be good, but we all know who's going to win, don't we? Yes, yes. But how many can we bring with us? Yeah? How many can we bring with us? Okay. Also, whilst we've got you in your groups, yeah, we've got a youth leader in each group, yeah? Youth leader, no? Oh, you're one. You got me. Okay. Well, in the groups, yeah, like stay in your groups. The reason why I mixed you up is because I've got you out of your regular seats. Maybe speak to people that you wouldn't normally speak to, sit to people you wouldn't normally sit next to, and just try and mix things up a bit, like get people out of their comfort zone, yeah? That's the idea of this. And, I'm going to give each one of you like a topic, and I want you to discuss it with each other, and at the end, either any of you can stand up and speak, or if you're not too confident in doing so, hopefully you've got the confidence now, but if not, yeah, you can give it to one of the youth and we can discuss it as a group together, as a church body, as just together in general. Yeah, does that sound all right with all of you? That's good. So at the back, yeah, number ones, how could we bring more people to God and how could we expand our family? What could we do? What sort of things could we do? Number two, yeah, how to get noticed more in a positive way so people can see the light within us in this dark, sinful world, yeah? Number three, the struggles that the non-believers have, how to overcome them. So how to overcome, you know, like when they're the whole... I'm just going to give an example, yeah? So like Jesus is the Saviour, yeah? Or, you know, like, there is a creator. So try and... You know, the struggles that non-believers try to get their head around. Yeah? Number four, last but not least, yeah? Anything we should do more of or less of as a family. Don't forget him, yeah? As a family. Anything we could do more or less of. The family of Christians. But this family in particular, because... Yeah? You've forgotten yours. The struggles of non-believers. Shall I say them again, or you guys got them? Got them, yeah? Okay. Hello, church. Have you guys enjoyed your discussion? Yeah? Are you now ready to share with each other? I can't hear anyone. Are you ready to share? Yeah, okay. Well, I say we start with four and work our way down. So, Derek, do you want to...
We said, so what should we do as a family, yeah? It was encourage each other a lot. What else was that?
Mentioned growing in the gifts of prophecy and words of knowledge and maybe ministering and praying for one another more.
Holding out a hand and just being friendly towards each other regardless of what people may think and not worrying about what other people think and just being ourselves.
Across the board here, their theme was welcoming.
I just want to say that last Sunday was the first day I came and I was very warmly welcomed. And this morning again. So I'm sorry I can't stay, but I really wish you all the best that I can wish you.
So yeah, that was basically what we all said. we should do more in our church and as Christians.
So our question was, why would non-believers, why do they find it so hard to believe in Christianity? And I'll let out the others have a go, but I thought of, you have to lead by example. If they think that the church is, or if they see a corrupt and dodgy church, why would they want to be part of that?
One of the things that I think that we come across in our family is we say, how can you believe in someone that you don't see? And coming up with that sort of question or argument, if you like. And I think we talked about, again, just by your testimonies, just sharing what you can, not getting into the arguments, but just sharing God's goodness in that.
I was just saying that there was things that I've seen that are completely unexplained if you take God out of the picture. So sharing, yeah, like Gunilla said, testimonies and things that you've seen God do, that no one can take that away from you. And if you can't explain it in any other way other than saying that it's because God is there, then hopefully they can believe as well.
Also what was mentioned was praying for people, because people who you may have contact with, but you might not be able to, as it were, preach at them, but you can still pray for them, and you can, and as Dan mentioned, you show your love and friendship, and you might not be bashing onto them because you're just building up a wall between you. But you can pray for them.
Our question was, how can Christians in the world today be shown in a positive way? Like, what could we do? And our group discussed on how the way we just live our lives, like our normal lives, like do we do what Jesus wants us to do? Like, do we do things in the way Jesus would do them? And also, if we do make a mistake, how we deal with it? Like, what do you do after? How do you repent? Like, how do you deal with it? Like, for example, our core example in our discussion was road rage when you're driving. Do you say sorry, or do you go, oh, you, I mean, so it's just, we think, Christians could be shown in a more positive way if we just show that, like, how we live our lives. Like, don't scream. Obviously, let people know you're Christian, but also do it in moderation. Like, because if you scream, I'm a Christian, people expect you to be perfect. And that's something we're not, like, realistically. Because as a Christian, you struggle a lot more, I think, in terms of fighting with what you're doing in your faith and coming to terms of just thinking about God all the time, like, how would God do this? How would Jesus do this? What would Jesus want? And that's how we think we should be showing the positive way, just living our lives the way Christ would want us to.
Well, I'm not exactly youth, am I? But the other end of the scale. Our question was, how can we bring more people to believe? And we had several suggestions. I'll just say one of them, pass it on. Was we thought it would be a good idea, I know some has been done, to prayer walk more. Walk around the neighbourhood, you know, especially when we know the neighbourhood and we might know there are specific needs, either in shops or schools or in particular homes, and pray specifically for those situations. And the other thing was, I'll just say one more thing, was to, in the morning, when you get up, ask God to give you opportunities. You know, God loves you to ask him things. And what does it say? You know, he won't give you a stone instead of a fish. And so you know, ask him to give you opportunities to speak to people and help to spread the word. Somebody else going to say something? Diane, go on.
Yeah, go on. I didn't say lots. One thing that I said was what was coming up on social media at the moment is basically being in, like, stepping in someone else's shoes and knowing the full story before jumping to the conclusion, really. And more as well as, like, when you live in a small close, you can talk to a lot of people. So talking to a lot of neighbours really helps, like, to get to understand each other. So when you talk to someone and you don't realise you share the same belief, which I think really opens a lot of doors for you, because you can talk to someone that doesn't go to your church and you can relate to each other in a different way.
I'm going to say a little something. It's, we need to be proud that we're Christians, yeah? We need to be proud that we're on the winning side, yeah? We need to be proud that our Saviour is coming, and we have the ability to save other people as well. We need to be proud, not like, not too pushy, but, you know, just if someone asks you, say it with a smile on your face, I'm Christian, yeah? Like, I'm on the winning side here. Like, the devil isn't going to beat us. Just be happy and enjoy your faith, like, personally. And I think just people seeing it in your eyes, in your heart, through from the Holy Spirit, from your soul, yeah? People will see the enjoyment within you. And, yeah, just be happy that we are following Jesus.
We discussed also about empathy, putting yourself in your fellow, your neighbor's shoes. And I gave example of passing one day through my neighborhood, and I saw an ambulance. Then I saw that my neighbor's husband was being taken to hospital. But then that time I was very busy. So after I've been back from wherever I went, I just went to knock at my neighbor's door. Then I said, oh, hello, I think I saw your husband being taken to hospital. Is he back? Then the wife said, oh, yes, he's still at the hospital, but he's doing well. So later, the following day, I just went by, and then he said, oh, he's back and he's doing well. And I also spoke to the man, and the man said, oh, thank you very much for asking of me. And that was very good. And they were very appreciated of what I did. And since then, we kind of formed some kind of relationship. So I was saying that sometimes it's very good to do that small things, and it goes a long way. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just very quickly, just the scripture that Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, when he says, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power.
Okay. Just before we sing the last song, all you in your groups, you young people, they can come in if they want, but
yeah, go on, bring them in.
Could we pray for these young people? Haven't they done well this morning?
Yes. Brilliant.
That's excellent, excellent. And Derek's going to be heading off, and Ed will be heading off. But let's just, before the groups completely disintegrate, though, you in your little groups, just pray very briefly for the young person or people that you've had in your group. Can you do that? And then we'll sing the last song. So just briefly, pray God's blessing on them, that they will grow.
But if there's one thing that you take from today, just, I'd like, growth is obviously the main thing, but growth in yourself and try and growth in others. Have the strength to maybe get out of your comfort zone, spread the word, and ask him. Ask and you shall receive, yeah? So ask him, use me today, yeah? How can you use me? Use me today. On that note, enjoy the rest of your weekend. God bless you all, and thank you for listening.
Thank you. Bless you.